Well, you can say hi if you want to.
Hi, this is
Howdy.
Hi. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, this is Greg LeMond. Welcome to the VeloCast.
Nice, really nice, yeah.
Hello everyone, and welcome to the VeloCast. Day 2 of the Lombardia build-up saw some of the same names from yesterday's Tre Valle Varenzini back in action, but also some new ones using the Milano-Torino as their platform for Saturday's Race of the Falling Leaves. The 179km event was always going to come down to the second ascent of the Superga, and what a mighty tussle it turned out to be. A duo of Michael Woods from EF Education and David Godot from FDG attacked multiple times up the 5km climb in an attempt to escape both a select chase group and indeed each other. However, it was the Canadian who finally broke clear with just 100 or so metres to go and take the win.
Well, as is your wont, mate, you've done a summary there which actually soaks up any conversation we could have, because that's all that happened. It was actually a really enjoyable race, but the nature of that final climb, which they go over twice with that turn to the left at the summit to go up the finishing climb, was such that it was always going to finish on, you know, and be decided on that climb. We had an early breakaway away with the really impressive Remy Cavagna from De Koenig Quickstep in it, and he was a credible contender who broke away from his breakaway companions quite early. And we've seen the power that he displayed in, you know, in the recent Vuelta. So he could have stuck it away if there hadn't been the big guys waiting. We'd seen a lot of the teams working, particularly Team Ineos, which indicated they had some faith in Egan Bernal, which was nearly justified. At one point, we saw the most dimension data riders I've seen in one shot on a television screen all year. I mean, it was amazing there were three of them in the same shot. Quickstep looked like they had some cards to play, but in the end didn't. But the final few kilometres was an absolute treat of attacking riding. You know, David Goudou and Michael Woods just wouldn't see die, and the small group behind them kept being dropped, then getting back on, then being dropped, and then getting back on. So it was proper edge of your seat stuff. Good race.
It was a fantastic race, and I think maybe I'm doing it a bit of a disservice by saying it simply came down to that final second ascent, because you've really got to take into consideration what had happened up until that point. You specifically mentioned the work of Ineos there, Teo Gegenhart and Diego Rosa coming down off the first ascent of the Superga, I thought were brilliant, and like you highlighted, it looked like Bernal was on a day. It just kind of felt that when push came to shove on the final climb, he didn't quite have the legs to do it. But I mean, in fairness to it, at only 5 kilometres, it's more of a Valverde-type climb than an out-and-out Grand Tour call. So while they were impressive, I was thinking, especially on that first descent, this is going to be an interesting one, because really Egan Bernal's not the kind of guy that you would be expecting to be all-conquering on 5 kilometres of relatively benign climbing when you've got guys like Michael Woods and David Goudou, Valverde, Yates, Thijs Benoot, Bauke Mollema, all those type of guys who are more suited to that finishing climb.
Yeah, I mean, Egan Bernal, the fact he was there at all is a sign that he's in some decent form. And coming into Lombardy, his name has to be in the list. I mean, it's not the kind of riding that suits him. It's not the high mountains where he can rip people apart a long way from the top. You know, there's short climbs where people get a chance to come back. And actually, that was typified by Valverde today. He rode such a canny race just to get dropped but conserve his energy, then get back and then get dropped and conserve his energy and get back. And finally, he was the only one who was actually going to take it to Woods. But Bernal's clearly in form, and the team knew that. You know, they were working for him. We saw complete commitment from the team. The other people who impressed me a lot today was there was a lot of work to get Adam Yates in position. Mm-hmm. And Adam Yates repaid that well. I think we have to specifically mention Alex Howes and his American Champions jersey, who did a lot of the controlling during the day, but particularly Jack Haig, who did an amazing job on that final climb. He was the one that brought the group back initially to the Michael Woods, David Goudou breakaway, where the two of them might have just been able to get away and make it stick. And it was Jack Haig sitting in the front that drew everybody back up to that group. So special teammates mentioned to those two. And then we also have to mention that when everything looked settled, when we thought it was going to be decided amongst five guys and the race was over, from behind came Thijs Benoot and Bauke Mollema. What a ride from that pair. Bauke Mollema, we've seen him be in such great form late in the season before, and that's really showing. And Trek again today showed some real fire in their belly to work for Bauke. New world champion was a bit ill, showing his jersey off at the start, but he's not quite right. You know, he's I don't know if he's had too many aquavits or whatever after he won the world championships, but he's not quite there. But the team were showing. I mean, Trek, we've talked all season about how disappointing they've been, but they were working for Bauke Mollema. And we also need to mention, I mean, for only 6 kilometres of racing, we've got really quite a lot to mention here. I'm sorry for good on people. But Jakob Fuglsang had the first really big dig from Astana. But in fact, in the end, he was their top finisher. But for a long time, it had looked like Gorka Ezegera was going to be the guy, you know, because he was up there as well. So Astana did a good ride too. But Michael Woods, without peer, you know, he didn't do that hiding in the pack thing and pop out at the last minute to take a surprise win. He was the main animator of the initial move. He managed to counter everything that happened. And when he was left in his own, almost by default, he just piled on a slow, gradual acceleration that dropped everybody except Alejandro Valverde.
And, you know, you're saying everyone but Valverde, you know, it wasn't like it was a two-up sprint to the line. Mm. When he did power away, he broke Valverde. There was significant bike lengths. I mean, certainly Valverde rallied and he could have caught him had there been maybe, you know, another 50, 100 metres of racing to be done. But certainly Michael Woods, in that powering away in the last couple of hundred metres, was enough to put Valverde into trouble and open up the significant number of bike lengths between them to ensure the Canadian was going to take it. So you're absolutely right. I mean, he, as you mentioned, he was the first guy to attack. And the way he countered everything, mm-hmm. I mean, I really feel for poor David Gaudu this afternoon, because if prizes were awarded for the most attacks in 5 kilometres, the best face pulling and the best bike fighting, he'd win all three prizes because
was a world class gunman.
Wasn't it just? Tommy Vokal would be proud. But I think he had the race win written all over him, but for Michael Woods' just sheer class and determination in making sure anything that was going up the road, he was going to be sitting on its back wheel.
Yeah. I mean, we have to think that Groupama FDJ have learned from the data they got from Thibaut Pinot's win last year, because Gaudu's been good, but I didn't expect him to be as good as he was today. You know, everybody, all of his competitors, people in pre-race interviews had been talking about Michael Woods as a potential winner. You know, done so well in this race before. The guys around him have seen the form that's in his legs. You know, we talked about Roglic's amazing ride and, you know, at Emilia at the weekend, and Woods had a good ride there as well. You know, he showed he's coming into form. So everybody was talking about Michael Woods. David Gaudu, for me, he outperformed my expectations, but he won my kind of favourite rider of the day award, because every so often he looked like he was going to get dropped and you think, oh, he's got to be done now. And then the bugger would try another pop off the front. You know, and then at one point he drifted to the other side of the road. They're all sitting watching each other. And with no guile whatsoever, he just got out of the saddle and went again. So he was a man on a mission today. And I think he did really well to finish with Thijs Benoot in the group 10 seconds back and finish in fifth place. Because he put in so much effort trying to get rid of first Michael Woods and then the others who came up to join that group, that he could have blown apart and finished, you know, a minute down after that final turn.
Yeah, and I think you've got to kind of compare and contrast how David Gaudu approached that final climb to how Alejandro Valverde approached it. I mean, there's three places of difference in the final, but essentially, Valverde never really had to put his nose in the wind at all. Mm. I mean, it was just a series of masterclasses in bike racing tactics. And I think Michael Woods was definitely the strongest on the day, but again, the cleverest on the day was Alejandro Valverde to come away with a second place without really ever having attacked. I think he was forced to put in a bit of work to chase Gaudu and Woods at one point, mm-hmm. but the rest of the time he just sat and he watched moves. And as I say, I just wanted to highlight the difference between Valverde in terms of racing talent, and talent's a bad word, the racing guile. Yeah. Versus just sheer enthusiasm. And I think if you had to try and put some of the strength that Godot had today and couple it with Valverde's race smarts, we might have seen a different result. Not taking anything away from just how good Michael Woods was right the way up that climb.
I think to Valverde's great advantage, he looked like a man who really didn't care about today's race. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean it in the, he had nothing to lose. You know, when the break went away and he wasn't in it, you know, when Woods and Godot were up the hill, he was sitting looking around and he looked completely unconcerned. Now, whether that was a poker face or, you know, whether he genuinely didn't give a toss about the race, that forced others to work. And you're right, there was only one point where he really had to take command and he looked ready to let people go away at all points. But then suddenly, when he was in with a sniff of the win, it was only the superb strength of Michael Woods that managed to distance him. And that old cliche, if that line had come 20 minutes further on, Valverde would have been there. Because towards the end, before it flattened out a wee bit, he was closing and closing and closing and closing, because he had a good 40, 50 metre gap at one point, I think. So, I mean, Valverde is clearly on absolutely cracking form. His racing brain, it'd be a surprise if it wasn't brilliant. He's been racing since 1906 or something. You know, there's all that experience in his head. He's got nearly 20 years of professional peloton experience, and that puts him, along with the other people that we've mentioned, maybe just a hair behind Primoz Roglic for Lombardia at the weekend. And I've got to say, a big shout out to Adam Yates as well, because he didn't give up. You know, his teammates had put so much work in for him. We mentioned Jack Haig in particular, but he really tried to hang on to Valverde and come back up to Woods, and in the end finished only 5 seconds back. So it's a good ride from Yates. I think the best ride we've seen from him for most of this season, actually.
Maybe a tad disappointing from De Koninck Quickstep, would you say, or am I being too critical of them?
No, I thought it was mince. I mean, Remy Cavagna, as I say, was a credible attacker. But when you look at the depth that they've got, that final climb was hard, but I still think we should have seen Philippe Gilbert in particular in contention. I mean, we had the most half-hearted of digs from Gilbert, which Theo Gegenhardt dealt with almost dismissively. You know, he just upped his cadence by kind of 5 revs a minute and closed down Gilbert. So they had cards to play. Remy Cavagna was in the break as a sacrificial lamb's the wrong thing. He could have won on the right day, but he clearly wasn't expected to be there at the very finish, because a break in a race like today very seldom is. But the rest of the team looked, you know, the lights were on, but nobody was home. There was just no impetus. And that's really weird, because the one thing we've seen from that team every time they've turned a pedal this year is a drive to win, and that seemed to be lacking a bit today.
Yeah, it really surprised me when they came off the descent of the Superga, and it was, as we mentioned, that trio of Ineos riders at the front, and the first thing we see as soon as it hits the flat is Philippe Gilbert attacking. I'm going, okay, there's only one explanation for this. You're either so confident and so super strong that you think you're going to ride the entire peloton, or what was left of it, off your wheel and all the way up that final 5 kilometres to the finish line, or this is a I really should show face type attack. And I think it was clear it was the latter within about 50 metres.
Yeah, I mean, I think their game plan was to work for Enric Mas, because the climb suited him as much as, you know, Egan Bernal, almost exactly the same amount, I would say. But he finished in 10th, 40-ish or 38 seconds down, and played no part whatsoever in the decision-making of the day. You know, it's hard to say that somebody who finishes 38 seconds down in a climb like that is a passenger. But, you know, he wasn't one of the move makers, was he?
No, so, I mean we never saw anything of really from 8th place down. And yes, Jakob Fuglsang was active earlier in the day, but you know, making the top 10 in just in and of itself seems impressive. But if you were to look at the footage that we had from the race, neither Fuglsang, Kevin Rivera, or Enric Mas actually featured in any of the shots whatsoever. They were so far off, away from the action. They've been as well finishing in 100th place, never mind 10th.
Fuglsang made a wee dig at the foot of the climb, but you know, it's indicative to me that it was Gorka Ezeguera that we saw on our screens for most of the climb. That Fuglsang's had a great season. Let's not take that away from him, and he was very unlucky in the Tour de France. But for a lot of these riders, it's starting to look like it's been a long year. I think there are a lot of tired legs in that peloton, and once the Race of the Fallen Leaves is over, I think they'll, you know, it's not just Primoz Roglic that will be looking forward to going on these holidays.
So the top 10 for the day, Michael Woods takes the win ahead of Alejandro Valverde. Adam Yates came in third, Thijs Benoot in fourth, David Godot in fifth, Egan Bernal in sixth, Bauke Mollema finished in seventh, Jakob Fuglsang in eighth, Kevin Rivera Serrano in ninth, and Enric Mas was in 10th. Now, John, your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to give the listeners details of our 2020 Early Bird offer. And mainly, as I'm sure people will be absolutely bloody sick of us banging on about it, your time will self-destruct in 10 seconds. Go.
It's really, really, really simple. It's the cheapest way you can get our content next year. It's great for you because of the price. It's great for us because it gives us the stability to, you know, to plan another year. Today, I've just shipped the microphones to our two new contributors, Peter Cossins and Chris Sidwells. I'm really looking forward to recording shows for them. I've been talking to some other folk. It's just great. You know, go to velocast.cc and give us all your money. That's it.
I think that was slightly over 10 seconds, but I'll allow it on this occasion. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today for a quick review of Milano Torino. Join us again on Friday as we look at Gran Piemonte in the next edition of the Velocast.